The Air Force awards a contract worth nearly $500 million to 22 companies under its Agile Acquisition Program. The work is based at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. Jonathan Cansdale and Captain Toshiro Toyama are contracting officers in the Air Force Lifecycle Management Center at Eglin. They tell me about the details of the contract. Jonathan describes the parameters of the contract that make it agile.
So we've identified within the RFP certain elements where the contractors had to be proficient in, experts, or partner with. So the agile part comes in the fact that, again, I was talking about the building the yellow book for this contract, or for our customers, really. And the agile part of it is if they have a, say it's a program of record, and the change or the requirement that they have really doesn't fit on, and let's pick on a specific scenario, it's a sole source awardee, that weapon that they're dealing with was a sole source awardee as proprietary information, and it's covered by justification and approval, J&A, where that change that comes down may not be covered under that J&A. Instead of trying to, you know, get another justification approved at whatever level, as high as that needs to go, sometimes beyond the space, that they could use the RAC, the Rapid Acquisition Cell, that awarded this contract as the contracting support to see if that technology or that demonstration or that modification is something that they actually want to include in for future lot buys or production type efforts.
What's the long-term benefit that you expect to see for the people who will use this for those three areas of specialty? How will this assist mission or deployment, any of those kinds of issues? How will they be able to do their jobs better because you've structured this in the way that you have?
Well, they won't have to they won't have to worry about it. Again, talking about changing any of their structured cemented processes with what they're buying. Again, it's for incorporating those changes to those type of systems that where the Agile Acquisition IDIQ comes into play, where it offers the flexibility. So long-term support is, I hate to use the cliche, fire and forget, but they fire the requirement over so long as it meets the parameters and within scope of the intent of this effort. And then, you know, it goes through the standard processes that we've advertised and we just talked about. So, again, long-term benefit, I think it goes beyond just the customers, too. It's for the Air Force, for our organization, that, you know, our whole goal is to get the warfighter what they need and what they want. Let's go back and just stick with what they need and when they need it. And to do that in a agile environment where we've told the offerers, including the OEMs, who, you know, I'm not going to say they're all expecting 30, 40, 60, 100-day solicitation processes. We've kind of targeted around 2 weeks, depending on complexity, that we want to have these delivery orders negotiated, proven, get them going, start the production of the requirements.
What was that response like from the vendors who bid to be on this? I imagine that was a little bit of a change management issue to get them to understand that you were serious about wanting to do quick turnarounds like that.
Sure it was. And inside the RFP itself, we asked them to propose to their structured approach and how they're going to manage that aspect of it. There was a lot of concern, obviously, with, of course, complexity drives a requirement. We're not expecting the impossible, but if it's doable, we're not going to offer, the standard, you know, well, we can think about this some. No, if we put it out there, there's going to be an expectation to capitalize on that time and get proposals or at least the questions back to us. Again, I think I started off with complexity driven, but if it's doable, and I think the competition of the contractors that we have available on this effort is going to help drive that standard. That, hey, look, we need to get stuff done. We need to get it done faster. We need to get it done appropriately, and into the warfighter's hands.
Jonathan Cansdale of the Air Force Lifecycle Management Center, joined by his colleague, Captain Toshiro Toyama. Captain Toyama, thanks also for joining us today. The personnel that are involved here, a mix, I imagine, of civilian and uniformed personnel. And tell me about the people who are involved here and the conversations that went on with the end users to make sure that what you were asking industry to do was going to serve the mission, not just at Eglin, but for the overall entire contribution to the Air Force that you make at Eglin Air Force Base.
Oh, yes, sir. First off, I appreciate you having me on the show today. The personnel, actually, they were the nucleus. They're the ones who drove this entire contract to be as successful as it has been so far. Those customers that Mr. Cansdale mentioned, XZW, SOCOM, and EB, really it was a conglomerate of the most forward-thinking minds around base within these organizations that they weren't just thinking about what's in front of them in the next year or so. They're thinking more 4 or 5 years out because, it's like you guys talked about before, these pre-program activities, that those things are all forward-looking well into the future, especially with the testing and simulation and the modeling, that the type of stuff that they do around here. They were the reason why we're able to create such a great contract and get great feedback from industry as well, because we had an industry day a year or two ago, and I know that we've been getting emails constantly for 2 years straight just asking what's the status of, you know, the Agile acquisition. Because they were just as excited as we were to get it in place.
That dialogue with industry strikes me as a success story here, because I note that 23 companies bid on the contract, 22 of them are on it. That sounds to me there's a lot better odds than I see here in Washington. So it strikes me that you did both a good job of laying out to industry what you expected, and they did a good job of explaining to you how they were going to be able to meet those expectations. Is that a fair assumption on my part, do you believe?
Absolutely, sir. I think that's the reason. I think it was all said and done, I think the number one thing that we took out of this is the amount of preparation that went into going into the solicitation phase and the awarding phase, because, like I said, that industry day happened over 2 years ago. In the meantime, we had clear-cut lines of communication with industry. We weren't trying to have any secrets from them whatsoever. We actually welcomed feedback from them. I know Mr. Cansdale and I, we probably went through over 200 industry questions when the draft request for proposals went out. So a lot of hard work went into well up until we even released the RFP, but I think that's what made this such a success, because we kept the lines of communication open with industry. And when we had industry day down here at Eglin Air Force Base, there was over 75 companies that came to this. And we were expecting about 30 to 40, but, you know, as we sort of finalized our requirement, it started flushing a little bit out. And instead of them coming straight to the contract, I think a lot of folks we're looking at who is going to win, so who they can prime with or partner with type thing.
Jonathan, one takeaway from that is you have 75 companies come to the industry day. You outline very clearly what you expect from them. You get a response of 23. That means that you had, and 22 of them wind up on the contract. That seems to me to be a very logical progression of companies also being able to understand, you know what, this isn't our bag, so this is not something that we should try to get in on. And that makes your life, I would think, a lot easier, too, when you're going through the selection process.
Oh, sure, of course. I mean, the goal was not to be this black box of, hey, what are they really looking for? As always, open communication, effective communication, I think, is paramount and is evidenced here in this this requirement, this award process. That, yeah, it's, you know, part of our goal as a contracting officer is not to waste money or precious resources of organizations that may or may not have a chance. So when we clearly outline this is what we're going for, this is what we expect, that those companies that say, well, it's really not in our niche or not in our backyard, or either we're going to partner, we're going to bid, or we're not going to play at all, I think it really speaks a lot to the whole process as a success in capitalizing on that. But, yeah, effective and open communication, again, was the key here.